We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's Ron Van Dam Show. How you doing? Good to see you. Hey. How are you, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam. That's all of what I got. It's my full name. A lot of people just call me Bucky. That's not true. I just lied. Oh, man. Allergies. Raise your hand if you got allergies today. I can't see you, but look at all of you. Yeah, it's really annoying. It's horrible. I've had it all summer, and it's not debilitating or anything. I can still walk, but it's cold out today. This morning, temperatures in the 40s. Temperatures in the Boston area today won't go above 60, and down in the Providence area, maybe 63 or 64 or something. So there you have it on your Friday, September 19th, 2014, the year of our Lord. How you doing? Good to see you. My name is Ron Van Dam. This is Metro South Podcasting. We can be heard on all kinds of outlets growing, and thank you to you for that. Well, today I had mentioned on yesterday's show that I was going to talk about body parts. And and I announced it ahead of time because I usually don't talk about this kind of stuff, but I think that certain things should be addressed in our society. So I'm going to get to that. It's my job to point out all the absurdities of life. And I think that it's important for me to do something like that. But before we go any further, because it's really, really important to me, you must understand what's going on here. We have certain rules and regulations that you must follow. There's a waiver that you have to sign, all that kind of stuff. We have to know your bowling shoe size. So here's a disclaimer, and I hope that you check the box. Hope you check the box. It says it's okay.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host.
That's right.
Do not attempt to try this at home.
No.
Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show.
Sure.
Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program.
Absolutely.
The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux.
Certainly not.
Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time.
Absolutely.
The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants.
No.
Unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day. But
even then,
please refrain from loud conversation as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program.
I agree with that.
Your enjoyment of the program may vary.
Sure.
It may vary greatly.
Absolutely.
Please enjoy the show.
Wonderful. And don't kick the chair in front of you because it really annoys the person sitting in front of you. I do things on purpose in movie theaters to annoy other people because I always expect that they're going to annoy me. I like going to the movies, although now really there's no point because you can get everything on your stupid little TV set that you want with Netflix and PicFlix and all that kind of crappy stuff. Smart TVs, really smart TVs. You can get anything you want. So why go to the movies? And the reason you go to the movies, and let's face it, let's be honest with each other, is because it's in a dark room and the lights are down and you can't do a damn thing other than that. You can't get up and go to the bathroom or take a phone call or anything. I mean, you can go to the bathroom, obviously, but it's a chore. You have to walk there. It's different. It mentally puts you in a captive situation where you're sitting in a room and you are forced to watch this thing on this gigantic screen that's bigger than your head, and you're drawn into it. When you're sitting in a living room or a den, wherever the hell you have your TV, maybe your bedroom, you're not signing away the fact that you are stuck there. You can do other stuff. You can anything. You can have sex during it. I don't know. But in a movie theater, well, you can have sex there too, I suppose. In a movie theater, you have a captive mind. I don't go to the movies very much, really at all, because I have what is called, and let's not name diseases here, because there are just way too many to name. I have, I don't think it's attention deficit disorder. I don't know what letters it is, but I have a short attention span. S-A-S. I have SAS. Short attention span. I do not like to be stuck doing anything for an extended period of time ever. Ever, ever, ever. I feel trapped when I don't have the ability to get up and leave. In a movie theater, if I don't like the movie, I can get up and leave. Or if I have to go to the bathroom, I get up and leave. So I am able to do so even though I'm in a captive atmosphere by choice. But I do have that ability to leave. But when you start paying like $50 to see a movie in a movie theater, and if it's in 3D, then it's $562 to see one of those things. And if it's an IMAX, then it's like $7,272 to see one of those. Perhaps my prices are a bit inflated, or you can get the senior discount, or you can be a child or a student. There aren't many things left. Here's the price, $10 to get into the movies. If you're a senior, it's $8. If you're a student, it's $6. If you're a child, it's $4. If you're a Jew, it's $23. If you're a Protestant or a Catholic, $9. $9 for you. Oh, man. Anyway, my problem in a movie theater is the people. And fortunately, these things aren't private screenings, but the people really annoy me. I don't know why. When I go to movie theater, I am constantly conscious of everybody around me. I always am in every phase of life, which is a real problem for me, actually. But I'm like super over-observant. I'm super over-analytical. Maybe that's why I'm a talk show host. I don't know. Everything that happens to me is worth analyzing, and that's an awful way to live. But the curse is upon me. So I don't like people as a result. So I'm aware of everything that they do. I can hear their breathing patterns. I'm serious. It annoys me. There's a guy behind me with any type of respiratory problem, like allergies. I can hear it. I can hear it like three rows away. If somebody's whispering to the person that they went to the movie with, can you get me some popcorn? I can hear that. I can hear that. Nobody else can. I have superhuman hearing. But the worst is someone sitting directly behind me. Oh, it's not going to happen. I will move my seat 23 times. 24, maybe I'll get a little lazy, but 23. I will move every single time because there's somebody just sitting behind me. Just the presence, the aura, the feeling that somebody is behind me, breathing down my neck, staring at the back of my head, it bugs me. I can't deal with that. So I move every time. Which means I sit in very odd places in the theater, like all the way to the left, which pretty much means everything on the left side of the screen is huge to me. Everything on the right side of the screen is like 3 miles away. I don't get the best seats, but at least I can watch the movie without somebody breathing down my neck. And if anybody dares bring food into the movie theater, I don't care if they brought it from home, or if they brought it from the counter there, the $75 popcorn. I don't care. Just the sound of that chewing will drive me nuts. I will focus on that. So one might say, movies are not for me in movie theaters. No, people are not for me in movie theaters. Seriously. And I used to work in a movie theater. I managed movie theaters in New York City. I did for a period of time. it was probably the highlight of my life, meeting all these celebrities who would come into the theater and we'd do the theater openings. I've talked about that before. So I have a great affection for the theater, but I didn't sit there and watch the films with the other people. I simply ushered them in and ushered them out like cattle. To me, they were not people. They were cattle. They were goats and pigs. And you could tell the difference between the goats and the pigs. The goats just walked into the theater and left. The pigs ate stuff. Those were the pigs. All right, let's do a little bit of news, and then I'm going to get to my body part special, which is not going to be so horrible. I'm not going to be disgusting or anything like that, but I'm simply going to help point out the absurdity of the human body or the wonderment, one or the other. But this needs to be done. It just needs to be done. Yeah, you got to sit through this. It just needs to be done. As you probably know, in Scotland, a major vote took place yesterday. Scotland wanted its independence from the United Kingdom, which would be England and Northern Ireland and all that other kind of stuff. Scotland wanted to be on its own, very similar to every province in Canada wants to do this. Canada must be a horrible place to live. It must be the armpit of hell because every province wants to leave it and start its own. I don't know what's going on up there, eh? But in Scotland, In Scotland, I don't know. I've never been to Scotland. I don't know much about it. I just know that when there's a reporter doing anything from Scotland, they're not in front of any kind of large buildings or any metropolis downtown. They're in front of a little like cottage hut somewhere with a couple of goats screwing each other in the background and a lot of green pasture. It's really beautiful, but it doesn't give the impression that this place could actually be a self-sufficient country. It just kind of looks like a lot of little cottages out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, and a hell of a lot of goats and sheep and all that kind of crazy stuff, man. But I've not seen a lot of industry going on in the background when there's a reporter, at least, which is the only barometer I have of what Scotland really looks like at all. And of course, the bagpipe players, I believe that's Scottish, I think. And Scotch tape, I believe, comes from Scotland. I'm probably not. I don't know. Sheep wool sweaters, they all come from Scotland, every single one of them, obviously. Other than that, I don't know what the hell they do there. I mean, I don't know. I think they just run through the hills and they claim that they're alive and that's about it. And they wear kilts and say, hey, it's not a skirt, it's a kilt. Get over it. That's about it. They're constantly defending their legs. And some of them have very nice legs. I'm talking about the men here. Anyway, Scotland, they did a vote. The vote was really, really close. So close that they really should do a recount, but they're not. Having some water, sorry. Scotland decided through their own people, through their own vote, that they will not be leaving the United Kingdom. They shall remain. So that's that for now. I'm sure that won't be the last vote in our lifetime for Scotland, and now we're going to make believe we care about that. I mean, good for them, wonderful. But they're staying with the United Kingdom, I guess, under British rule, I suppose. I don't really know. I don't know if you could say that, but I just did. During the campaign, the United Kingdom, in order to keep Scotland as one of its own, made promises to Scotland. And now England has to follow through with those promises, and that will give Scotland really more independence, even though they're still part of the United Kingdom. I think they get a chicken delivered to their house every 3 days. Alternate side of the street parking is suspended for people in Scotland. And the Wendy's is going to feature the Scotland Burger nationwide in Scotland for reduced cost. And you get a free drink and fries. So that's a concession. That's probably why Scotland didn't want to leave the Union. So that's the news about Scotland. The other news is just sad. Just sad. And I don't really want to dwell on it too much, but you should know about this. As you know, in this particular country, the United States, there is there's a Congress. There's a House and a Senate. And they voted to arm the Syrian rebels in order to fight ISIS. to arm them and train them. And of course, we do these things so that 20 years later, they can use everything against us and fight us with our own stuff. It's kind of ironic always. The word ironic always, not erotic, ironic, always comes into play where we train other forces, give them stuff, and then they turn around and go, okay, stick them up. That's pretty much what happens. But ISIS is a very interesting problem that I'm sure somebody can figure out, but not our country, obviously. ISIS is not a country. There's no country of ISIS. There's no country of ISIS. There's no country of terrorism. It's a group of people that just spread like a cancer into other countries all over the place, including this one. I mean, they're just all over. More prominent, of course, in the Middle East, but they're getting their legs into England and just about every other place, Australia even. So that's frightening, because how do you fight something that isn't in a particular country? It's frightening in one sense, because it's a world war, really. It's a little comforting in another sense, because every country is pissed off at them. So every country can unite against ISIS and form a really incredible union, which this world should have done a long time ago, should have gotten themselves together in some type of a kumbaya kind of situation. ISIS might be pushing the world for more unity, really, as a end result. But Congress had to do this quick vote, and they did, and they supported the president's plan to arm and train the Syrian rebels. Right after that, everybody left Washington, except the president. But Congress, House and Senate, got in their cars, sped off at a high rate of speed, and went back home. For the next 6 weeks, all your Congress people will be either campaigning to be reelected or helping other people get reelected in their representative areas, in their towns and cities, in their states. Bottom line is, for the next 6 weeks to 2 months, nothing happens in Washington. This war on ISIS has been declared. We've got tons of issues that the country has not addressed, solved, or even looked at, except for just calling everybody poo-poo heads. That's what the Senate and the House do. They call each other poo-poo heads. They blame each other for everything, and they don't go any further than that and say, well, don't blame me, blame them. Well, blame them, blame me. It just goes back and forth, and nothing ever happens. And now nothing really ever happens, because they've just, Washington is now a ghost town. Now they're just trying to get reelected. It's sad, and it's pitiful, and yes, the numbers on the approval of Congress is the lowest it's ever been. Also low for the president. In other words, people are pretty much pissed off. They don't know at what, they don't know at whom, they're just pissed off. And I celebrate the pissed off attitude, because that's how things start happening. And hopefully in November, that pissed off attitude will pretty much get into the polls. However, it doesn't matter, because no matter who you vote into power, or into a particular representative seat, it's the rules and regulations are still sucky. They still don't do anything. You can replace it with another dummy. It's a ventriloquist dummy being replaced by another ventriloquist dummy. And it's sad. And I thought I'd just point that out and maybe just get a little fire in your pants about this stuff. Because the country is kind of operating. I mean, I don't mind what the president's doing. He's got to do something here. But it's kind of operating on an autopilot. And I don't know how long this plane is going to be able to fly straight. So it's about time we stopped fooling around and came up with a system where these people actually work and do their jobs. And, of course, God love them for their service, serving their country, enjoying their power, enjoying their perks, etc. I don't know how much of a service that really is. I think there's a fine line between someone who, on that level, on a national level, wants to do good for their country, or really enjoys the power and the notoriety and putting themselves on the map. I think the map thing is a little greater than the other. That's my personal opinion. Thank you so much. Speaking of not tolerating people too well, John Shanahan has prepared this for you.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing? Thank you so much for joining. You're wonderful people. I don't know you really, but you are so wonderful. You are so pretty. You smell so nice. You get along with so many people. You are certainly a member of society. You just are incredible. I don't know how you do it. I will whisper into your ear. You are incredible. You smell wonderful. Sexy, huh? Pretty sexy. We all have body parts, ladies and gentlemen. Let's check them out right now. We do them in songs at weddings. You put your left foot in, you put your right foot in. I don't know the rest of it because it's like 2 million years old. The Macarena, the Macaroons, I don't know. All those songs have something to do with taking a body part and thrusting it into a circle and dancing around. Of course, dancing these days, there are two types of dances, both of which I try not to do. I don't mind too much the slow dance because it gets you close to somebody and you can feel their passion and...
I know, you smell wonderful.
There's the slow dance, which means you kind of hardly move anymore. You just embrace the person that you're with. And you squeeze them tight and you just kind of rock back and forth to the music a little bit, just a little bit. Sometimes you can move your ass a little bit, but not so much in a slow thing. And maybe you can move your hands up and down their back. That can get very, very erotic. If you like the person. If not, it's annoying. Goopy. It's goopy is what it is. And then there's the other type of dance where you express yourself, where there are no rules. You take your body and you gyrate. And men usually don't look too good doing this. Men were not really composed to move much. That's why they sit on a couch all day and drink beer and watch TV, because they know when they move, they don't look that good. There are some men on a dance floor who look wonderful, and I question their sexuality, because they're a little too free in their attitude. Now, I know that sounds really wrong, but that's my job, to say things that are really wrong. Women, for some reason, have the gift of dance. There are not too many females that don't know how to shake it, baby. Men who know how to shake it, baby, maybe 2 out of 7,000. Females who know how to shake it, baby, 6,999 out of 7,000 know how to shake it, baby. And they know it. And the most prolific part of the shake it, baby dance is the movement and swaying of the ass. The ass has played a large part in our society. Ladies and gentlemen, I will now give great tribute to the ass, because it's very, very important. It is a showing of love, of sexual commodity-ness. And it's a showing of ass movement is pretty much what it is. We celebrate the ass today. The ass. Who can live without it? Sure, it performs various functions to release the fecal matter from your body. But it does so much more than that. It's a signal, it's a sign. The mere shaking of one's rear end can say so many things. I love you. I want you. I have gas. And I have hemorrhoids. Oh, the ass. When we don't like somebody, or we question their mental ability, we call them an ass, which is a derivative from the actual entire area, but we focus more so on the asshole, that very part of the ass from which people come from. Why, you're not just an ass, you're an asshole. Which is not part of the ass, it's the vacant part of the ass. It's like the donut with the center cut out. It is the lack of donut. This is the lack of ass, the asshole. So, in our language and in our culture, what body part means the most, says the most, does the most, represents the most? It's the mighty and powerful ass. Okay, let me be first to apologize. Now, it's very important. I videotape weddings on weekends. It's what I do. And the ass says so much. There's, within a space of a couple of minutes, there is always a group of girls, there are always a group of girls, I'm sorry, who will turn their backs to each other and ass bump each other, which is meant to be in a sexual manner. Women ass bumping each other is erotic in a sense, when in actuality, all they're doing is just touching each other's. I don't know why that is. Why is, sometimes they will back up to a guy and rub their ass on his ass. The guy rarely makes the first ass move because that's considered aggressive and not really socially acceptable. However, if the female begins the ass movement toward the male, that is greatly accepted and encouraged. The ass plays so many parts in our social development. And that's where it begins. I find great fascination, not usually, but because I do a podcast, I have to think of something to talk about. So here we go. I find great fascination in, and you can make this religious if you would like, in the sense that all people were created by a God or a God, and handcrafted like bobbleheads. Possibly that's true. I don't know. I mean, I think I do, but I don't want to talk about it. But the crafting of the human body is quite interesting, where both the male and female have to live with a part of their body that extrudes quite far out from their body. Now, for females, I'm talking about the what I call the boob region. I even stuttered saying it. The boob region of the body, which reminds me of a mountain range in the Appalachians. Here you are, perfectly formed, and yet somehow in the front chest part of your body, you have these two large moles sticking out, with little caps at the end. And on some women, they are nothing but tiny little hills, the foothills of said mountains. In other women, they are basically, my God, they walk into a room before you do, if you know what I'm saying. So they vary in size. You can get them in different sizes. You have to order them accordingly. And you can also have them altered in order to be various sizes. We have the technology to do that now. And the female deals with that. It's not seriously a wonderful thing necessarily because you have to hold them up somehow. They don't just stay up by themselves. They're not constructed that way. There's like jelly in there or something like that. So over time, and the larger they get, these things will start to develop a gravity type of delicacy where they will look for the floor. As opposed to looking straight ahead, they will start looking down to the floor, and you have to wear various apparatus in order to keep them from dragging on the floor, literally. So they invented something called a brassiere, and this is a device that probably was invented by men because men invented everything at a point in history. And they said, women get it really, really too good. I mean, they're really like, let's put a contraption on them and tell them that it's for their good, but it'll really just shut them up pretty much. And it'll highlight the fact that they're just out of control with these extrusions coming from their body. So they do that. And when you have a baby, you use these things, apparently. It's like a feeding machine. It dispenses liquids. Mm-hmm, it does. From what I understand, I read it in books. I've never really seen it, but I understand that's the case. And cows have like 50 of these things. Because they actually, cows were invented, obviously, for the milk industry. And apparently so were women. All right, fine. So that's their problem, and that's their curse, or their wonderment, whatever the case may be. Believe me, eventually it's going to be a curse. And medical things can happen to these things, too. It's just another thing to worry about. But men don't get off entirely free with this. They also have an extrusion, which is not looked at really often, because it's kind of disgusting. It is what is called clinically the penis. And this occurs usually in the lower part of the body, just in the area where guys like to scratch, oddly enough. If this thing wasn't in the way, guys would be in heaven. They'd just be scratching all the place. But this thing gets in the way now. And it too comes in various sizes. But it's a bizarre-looking thing. It's you can dress it and put hats on it, and it's just an odd, strange-looking thing. And women are appalled by it. They are asked to interact with it, and it's kind of disgusting, to be honest. And men don't care for theirs ever. But we don't. You can't enhance it unless you take pills for it. But you don't put things into it. You don't have things injected into it to make it bigger or smaller, anything like that. Well, my penis is way too big. Well, I'll do some plastic surgery on that thing. So those are some of the extrusions things, that extensions on a person's body that are really annoying. Really annoying. And I marvel at that sometimes, how this perfect human figure can have these extensions that cause trouble. And I'm just saying, I mean, I'm not going anywhere with this. I'm not angry about it. I'm obviously not angry about it. But I'm just saying, I just find it fascinating. And sometimes I just look at people and I say, man, look at the way we were crafted. Look at how we were made. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of odd. Normally, one would think, well, maybe I should stop talking about this. let's just move on to something else. I assume this is not comfortable for anybody.
Thanks to Metro South Podcasting, now you can get your Ron Van Dam anytime you want, as much Ron Van Dam as you want, any way you like to take your Ron Van Dam. Wow, this is getting really uncomfortable for me to read. Ron, did you write this way on purpose? Did you even read this out loud to yourself to see how it sounds? Yeah, actually, you know, you probably did. Okay. It's the Ron Van Dam Show on Metro South Podcasting. Just go with it.
Welcome back to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, I'm really surprised that you're still here because I got to tell you something. If I just listened to the shit that I just said for the past 10 minutes, I would be gone by now myself. I'd be like Congress. I'd be in the car and I'd be out of town by now. I apologize for that. But hey, you know, man, it's fascinating to me. I do this every once in a while, and I'm really not strange. I guarantee you I am not strange. I'm probably one of the most unstrange people you'll ever meet. But I go to New York City twice a year. It's the area that I'm from, where I grew up, and I love it. There's no place like it in the world, and I think most people know that. And forget your stupid baseball controversy besides that. I mean, the world is not a baseball controversy. I hope you understand that. But I love New York City, and what I do is I go down there and get myself a hotel room, and I just walk the streets. I mean, you know, the nice parts. And I just people watch. I love to people watch, and I know you do too, but a lot of people don't really admit that they people watch, but it's very cool. The area that I like to go to is the Upper West Side, where the Museum of Natural History is. It's Central Park West and 77th Street. And I sit there on a park bench, and there's a lot of people that sit on park benches in that area. And I'll sit there, and I'll just watch the hundreds and thousands of people walk by in front of me as the world basically is just passing in front of my park bench when I'm sitting there. And I have a particular bench that I happen to like. You get used to things in life. And I watch people go by, and I'm not gawking at them, and I'm not like, it's nothing like that. It's just interesting to see people go about their lives. And it's kind of more fun when I don't have to go about mine, when I have the luxury of being able to sit on a park bench and watch the world go by. But you see all kinds of people. You see the professionals who are dressed impeccably, and there's a certain gait to their walk where they are on their way to something. There is a time where they must be somewhere. And they usually walk very, very straight, and their shoulders are back, and they know who they are. They're aware of who they are. They have an importance, maybe not to the great scheme in life, but their world is pretty much mapped out for now. There's no confusion as to what they're doing right now. They are trying to get from point A to point B in an efficient, quick, and determined manner. And I can tell these business people right off. Oh, yeah. Certainly by the way they're dressed, their gait, etc. Then there's the unemployed people, and God love them. There's plenty of them. And they walk with a certain type of determination, but you can tell they're really not going anywhere. They don't really have a destination. They're just trying to get somewhere fast, but they don't know where it is. But maybe if they walk fast enough, they'll find out where they're going. And then there's the people like me who have no freaking idea what they're going to do. And they're roaming. They are roaming the streets. They look good. They look fine. They're good people. But they're just taking it all in. They're roaming the area. They're checking it out. We got nowhere to go. Got nothing to do. Killing time? Not even. When my killing time is over, all I'm going to do is kill more time. There's about the most important thing on my mind is which hot dog stand I'm going to have my next hot dog from. God love these people. They usually sit on the bench with me. We don't talk. I don't talk to people usually because I don't do small talk well at all. I'm very bad at it. This isn't small talk. This is like coming out of my screwed up brain. This is different. Small talk is, it's beautiful outside. Is it cold enough for you? Ooh, the winter's coming. I hate the winter. I hate the snow. That's small talk. That's talk that really goes absolutely nowhere. You have to do it, and you can't say anything about it, because that's the only way that two people communicate at first if they don't know each other. They go through that process of what's called small talk. It's a gigantic waste of time. You get absolutely no information from the other person. You learn nothing about them. It's simply, it's like a couple of minutes of your life you'll never get back. And you know it's not going anywhere. I'm very bad at small talk. I don't know what to say because I don't do small talk. So how do you meet somebody? How do you engage somebody in conversation if you don't do small talk? What do you do? There's nothing to do but just sit there and wait for something to happen. So that's why I don't know a lot of people and don't care to know a lot of people, because I don't do the small talk stuff. I need a small talk book. Someone needs to write me a small talk book. I'll read it. I'll throw it away because I don't like small talk. But thank you for writing the small talk book. It's not for me. Don't know how to do it. I don't know what to say. I mean, I can do it, but I don't like myself doing it. I feel bad about myself when I do small talk. I'll give you an example. Hey, how are you? Great, how you doing? Pretty good, no complaints. You? No complaints. Things going well? Yeah, they're going all right. Things going all well for you? Yeah, pretty good. You? Yeah. Lovely day, isn't it? Beautiful. Love this kind of weather. Me too. Beautiful day. You bet. Winter's coming. Oh, yeah, I know. Hate the winter. Me too. Don't like the cold. Really, I don't mind the cold. I don't like the snow. Yeah, the snow is horrible. Yeah, really bad. Don't know why I don't move. Me either. Well, anyway, how you doing? I'm doing good. Feeling good? Yeah, you looking good. Hey, you're looking good too. Hey, good to talk to you. Good to talk to you. See you, bye. See you, bye. What was accomplished there? Nothing. Nothing was accomplished. There was no exchange of anything going on. It was a total waste of time. It was two people ingratiating each self so that they could have some type of interaction that meant absolutely nothing. Mindless. And it's like 2,000% of the conversation that I have with people. So what kind of conversation should we be having? Well, perhaps something like this, which I also don't want to have, but perhaps something like this. Hey, how are you? Well, I got migraines and I don't know, and I'm not sleeping at night and I don't know. Well, maybe you should take Xanotol. I take it. Xanotol? Tell me about it. Yes, one pill in the morning and I get a great night's sleep. Well, I think I'll try it. Thanks a lot, Ron. You're welcome. And what about you? You look like you lost weight. Yes, I've been eating carrots every day. That's all I eat, just carrots, and my eyes are better, and I'm feeling very healthy. Oh, okay. Hey, say hello to the wife. Okay, you say hello to your wife. Well, I will if I have to. And that's the end of conversation. But what happened there? What happened? Two people interacted and cared about each other's situation and offered some type of resolve through their own experience. And both people walk away with, in this sense, medical resolves, but they walk away with some information that they didn't have before and yet interacted with the other person. There was an exchange of caring, of ideas, of resolves. That was short and sweet, and yet a fine interaction, one that bore fruit. It bore fruit. It was a fruit-boring thing. That's all I'm saying. All right, I apologize for the body part thing. Let's get beyond that. Let's not make that like a real problem between us. And I'll be back again on Monday with another edition of this program. I thank you so much for listening to the show. You're wonderful people. I keep saying that because I have to butter you up somehow. It's a beautiful day, though, isn't it, huh? Look at that. Beautiful day outside. Getting cold, though, huh? Yeah, getting pretty cold out. Winter's coming, you know.